Hello, welcome to Misadventures, a Gloomhaven podcast brought to you by Game Republic Radio. The first portion of this episode contains spoilers for scenario number 25. The second portion of this episode contains spoilers for scenario number 33. This episode also contains spoilers for class number 17. Please enjoy responsibly. So there we were, pleading for the bear not to run through that door. Hey guys, welcome back to yet another episode of Misadventures. It's good to have you back with us again. Another quick introduction of the party poopers, for those of you who are new or may have forgotten or just need a bit of a refresher. My name is Casey. I'm playing Etu the Brute.
I'm Garrett. I am Herd Nerfer the Scoundrel.
I am Skip. I am playing Skeevil the Shiv, the Vermling Mind Thief.
And I'm Steve, and I'm playing as the Vermling Beastmaster Coke with his bear partner Rum.
So, all right. So when we last left off in the previous session, we had made our way partially up a mountain to go investigate reports of a dragon.
A dragon!
We can't overlook promises of a dragon. So we continue up the icy crag to reach the beast. And doing so leads us to scenario number 25, the Ice Crag Ascent. This was an interesting setup. We had kind of a new goal. We'd kind of seen a similar goal before, but it's a little bit different. Like, the only thing we had to do was get to the end of the map.
Yeah. Like,
there's extract points at the very last room. There's only three rooms. There's extract points at the last room. All we had to do was get there.
And this is when the scoundrel realizes for the first time that I have no jump in my deck whatsoever.
I don't know why that would possibly come up. It's only three rooms. All we gotta do is get to the end. I
mean, what's the worst that could happen?
Easy peasy.
Second room could have been a complete maze, and you would have been screwed.
Yeah.
Complete.
Yeah, second room kind of is a complete maze.
Yeah, that's true.
So this one had hounds, which... Everybody knows my opinions on hounds. They're not positive. They're slightly better than Vermling, but that's neither here nor there.
Oh, wow.
Rending drakes, spitting drakes, which we'd encountered the rending and spitting drakes in that lab that was on fire once, but we kind of just ran away from them.
We got to see like a couple cards of their attacks, but we didn't have to like actually endure any of their attacks.
Yeah, little did we know.
Just going back real quick, though, Casey, since you're going to bring up the Vermlings, what did we see on the way out there? Do you remember the road event, perchance? It was some Vermlings around a campfire singing. And what was your inclination?
So first of all, you're jumping the gun. That was before the next one. But
was it?
Yeah, pretty sure my inclination was to kill them before they started doing some dirty deeds.
We'll cut it and we'll do this later.
Okay. Yeah.
Sorry.
No, it's all good. It's all good.
Oh, right. This was a link scenario.
Yep.
Okay.
Well, actually, it wasn't.
It kind of, we hand waved it. It made sense to be, so we did.
Okay. Gotcha.
First room kicks off with lots of hounds. Six of them. Six hounds. Real sad.
Well said. Well said. Yeah, no, it was not great. We had we started in one of those elbow rooms again, right?
Yep.
Seen a lot of those lately. And we had, what, three or four elite hounds in there?
There are four elites. Some normies. Two normals. And, like, really, we just don't want that pack, like, the pack hunt ability to pop up where they get, like, plus two damage, which I don't think they even drew it this time.
No, they didn't. But we did a pretty good job of getting in there and kind of getting our bodies in between the groups of them and fighting them. And I felt like we had control of the situation, at least to a reasonable degree.
Yeah, they kind of got wrecked.
Yep. I think also this was being the first room, we decided at some point, since this is kind of a race, let's leave the guy behind. Wasn't that, didn't we leave one wolf behind? And that was kind of a thing that we kind of moved forward doing, which was, might not have been the best suggestion, because they come back, they make their way back.
Yeah, they do.
So I think so. We did open the door before all the wolves died, but I don't think we ended up leaving the wolf. There's a Drake that we end up swapping back there later on.
Right. I think just in general, like we decided, let's just race and leave these wolves behind, and we're going to do that with all the monsters. But
we opened the second door, and it was like a maze of rocks and traps with a bunch of Drakes in there. And of course, those spitting Drakes are behind us, and they have rocks they can stand on that we can't get to, and traps between us and them. Or they're at the back of the room, and then there's the rending Drakes up front, which do a bunch of damage, guys.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. The spitting Drakes have wicked range.
Yeah. The rending Drakes open up by critting me for 10 damage, which I discarded a card to.
Oh, yeah.
But I still was just okay. So I was having some serious problems with these Drakes because I took some damage from the wolves. I was taking some damage from the Drakes. More importantly, though, they kept poisoning me, which meant every time I was able to get healing, it just removed the poison.
Yeah, that boned you.
So I had a long rest that just removed the poison. I had to pop my greater health potion once, and it just removed the poison. So there were 7 damage I didn't have. I was also not killing many things here. I was getting, I would like do some damage to something and then it'd have 1 or 2 hit points left, which meant my necklace of teeth weren't popping off, which meant I wasn't gaining health or removing poison that way either. I was down to 2 hit points at one point in time.
Yeah.
I might have been down to 1 hit point. Yeah, I think that actually went down to 1.
I think
one
in room 3, but.
And I think at that point he was hiding behind a vermling for protection.
I was. Still we'll get racist, there. We'll get there. We still got to overcome these Drakes, man. You're spoiling.
Yeah, we played this room pretty well, though. All things considered, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I soaked up a ton of damage, but it kind of kept damage off of everybody else. Yeah.
And you knocked that one elite Drake into the corner over by Rum.
Yeah, I did. I did knock an elite Drake over there next to Rum. We still had problems, though, because like there's a bunch of traps between us and them. So I jumped over the traps and tied up a couple of them, but I didn't want all 3 of them. So you did a swap.
With one of the normal Drakes, not the elite.
Yeah.
So he swapped back into room 1 behind everybody at this point.
Yes. And you named him Carl, I believe.
Just to differentiate. Yeah.
Yeah. He got a bit of a moniker until he... Actually, I don't know if he did.
He didn't die. He killed. He came up
after
we passed through, and he offed Rum, and I was very sad about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah. He's the one. The reason I was even mentioning it, he came back, and not only did he attack Rum pretty hard, he started getting me when you guys left me behind.
That's true.
But yeah, these Rending Drakes, man, they get lots of like multi attack stuff, and they hit. They live up to the name. They definitely me. I think I was getting just annihilated in this room. It was real bad, but
we all kind of catch up to that second door now.
Yeah, and we did kind of take a second to gather ourselves there. But I was okay. So I had to discard that one card, and I was having to use some other cards to like I was having to do some burns early just to stay alive. I was running low on cards, so
we were on a clock.
We were on a clock. We didn't have time to screw around. We got slowed down in the second room. So we opened the third door, and it's a wall of spitting Drakes that we can't get through to reach the extract point. 2 more rending Drakes, and then a couple of boulders we had to work around.
It's where Coke stepped
in. Again, we were on a tight clock. And yeah, and like everybody was like, all right, who's going to go in first? Because these rending Drakes were just standing there waiting for us to come in.
I think
in,
you had a long rest on this turn or something, right?
Yeah, well, and like normally, yeah, I did because it was like I was going to long rest. I still ended up getting hit, which screwed me again. You know, like I got hit by something was able to get, I think one
it's
spitting
like an
Drake moved
splash
up
or something.
Yeah. And did like an AOE. He did an AOE. That's this right.
Is, yeah. So that's when Coke ran in and popped his invisible cloak and made this tiny 2-foot invisible wall.
Yeah.
None of the bad guys could get through.
Which was good because this big towering Inox brute cowering behind an invisible vermling somehow still races.
But nobody could see the vermling there.
You knew he was
so,
there.
And I got into the middle of the room hoping I could do a bunch of damage because the way everyone kind of lined up, no one really wanted to hit me, even though I was kind of in there, you know. Yeah. But yeah. Once again, you know, I don't have jump. And so we've got a spitting drake, a rock, a spitting drake, and it takes up the whole 3-square path, and I am stuck.
You were basically just, yeah, you're at a wall. At this point, I had managed to heal up to like 4 hit points. Still not
great. You weren't going to survive a hit from one of those anyways.
I burned one of my cards to run up to the drakes that were near Garrett. I was able to stun two of them and kill another one.
Yeah, I think you opened the path. Because this was...
And open the
this
path.
Is where we realized we had to be like stupid precise and hit all our attacks, otherwise we weren't going to make it.
We still had a problem because I went fast enough that there was a good chance that the unstunned Drake, spitting Drake, was going to target me the next turn.
Yeah,
which Skip, you dropped down. No, what was it? Oh, it was
I dropped down a wolf for you.
Yeah, well, yeah,
you did.
Still racist against Vermlings.
not against wolves though, man. Much respect to that
last turn. He got his
naughty. Yeah. It's a good thing he summed up that blow though, or I would have dropped. And then I was able to. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, don't forget, you guys really just took off because
we left him in the back.
Yeah, you left me in the back because I decided to go for the chest, which was might not have been a good thing. But at this point, all I had was the one move 4 card left. I had managed to burn 3 of my cards that were move 5 or move 4 or whatever. I only had that one left. So I was racing to catch up to you guys. And that one Drake in the back, he just started hammering on me the whole time I was sneaking in there. I was getting pretty low too. When you opened up that hallway, that really saved me.
Yeah, Coke lucked out and dropped one of those rending demons to get that path for you.
So we end up with I use a jump movement to go in, like I get to the extract zone on my last turn before I pass out. And Skip slides in there just at the last second as well.
I think I had one turn left.
And I walked back there at a leisurely pace with cards to spare because I'm no longer a bad spell weaver.
Yeah. I'm just saying the Vermlings had the stamina to make it with a turn or two to, you know, whatever.
It's true. It's true. At least one of you did.
I'm pretty sure at one point, like, you passed out and Coke just, like, threw you over his shoulders and dragged you out of there. The place was on fire. He was getting shot at. Yeah, I remember that part. It was awesome.
Well, I'm glad I can make use of the lesser races, too.
Woo!
Woo!
Oh, wow.
Just out with it.
And now our podcast is canceled.
Well, there goes iTunes. You can now find us on RedTube.
Ooh, oh, that's a jump. Good news, though. We met.
Then we got to go meet a air quotes dragon. He was a Drake, but he's real cool about it, right?
He's a very old dance. Like, he's old and wise and, you know.
Yeah. He was like, hey, guys, I'm just a Drake. I've just lived a long time. And, you know, maybe don't kill me. Like, it wouldn't be that interesting of a fight anyway because some jerk stole my gland, like flame gland at some point somehow. Like,
he made it sound like he had more than one.
He did make it sound like
it's like a little bit of kind of we knew.
Yeah. I do kind of wonder how he let that happen a little bit, but he seemed like a cool dude. He's like, look,
how much did he like woke up in a bathtub full of ice, right? And some female Drake sneaking out the door.
Right. Yeah. So he was like, look, cool. We can fight, I guess, if you want to. I'm not real big on it. And we were like, well, we were big on it when you were a dragon, but now you're not a dragon. So it's a little less appealing. He also pointed out he had no princesses.
Yeah. I mean, he was infinitely reasonable. He straight up just said like, I don't want to fight you, but if you attack me, I'm going to defend myself. Yeah. And that's...
Yeah.
And he's like, I can take you guys, just so you're aware.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then he was like, or I can send you on a quest to go raid an armory for me and get my glands back. And I'm like, I'm cool with getting on the good side of this Drake, and raiding an armory sounds profitable.
Yeah. Right.
You also have to remember the last person that we actually helped out, what happened to her. I mean...
Mm-hmm. So maybe we got a chance anyway.
We happened to her, so
yeah.
But for now, we're friending up with the Elder Drake and going to raid an armory. But before we do that, Steve, what's cooking?
This week, I believe, was the mac and cheese bake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the star of the show had to be what Skip brought and made. Skip, you want to do it?
Yes.
It's actually a recipe from my wife's cookbook, which is a pineapple cheesecake egg roll. And basically, she helped me put it together, and I cooked it over at Steve's house, and I liked it. It worked out pretty well.
It was really super tasty.
It was delish. Yeah.
Like, this might be shameless shilling, but the rest of your wife's cookbook, it's that good. She is should sell a lot of copies.
Also, we're going to retroactively...
What's that game?
We're going to retroactively put an Amazon link in this later.
So we go back to camp town. We prep up. We have a very interesting city event.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
This, you know what? This is all you, Tots.
Well, what were the creatures called? What was their proper name?
Lurkers.
You were gone the scenario we ran into them. They're terrifying.
So we hear a big commotion, and they're like, the city's being invaded, and that sounds bad. So we run towards the danger because we're idiots. And we get down to the dock, and there's just a couple lurker bros hanging out, and they're like clicking and like doing their claws, doing a little Zoidberg. And these guys are like, well, we should probably kill them because lurkers are the worst.
Hey,
but, you know, they
I was with like you,
they wanted
buddy.
To communicate. And so I started doing a little crab dance and we tried to communicate.
That's because we're obviously not a racist group, right? That we're getting at.
Well, you know,
okay.
We thought we have a beast tamer with us. So maybe he can somehow, you know, speak to these guys telepathically. I don't know. Maybe, you know, he can work something out with them.
I didn't do anything special. No. He just kind of hung out and watched you do your thing.
They kind of just got bored of us and left. But yeah. Everybody was like, oh, that's cool. I mean, it wasn't cool when you broke up that fight way back when, but
right.
Trying to talk to these guys is cool, I guess. So
yeah, they were like super happy that we did it without violence for some reason.
Some reason.
They've really... Which is very different from our first city event where they were like, let them fight.
Yeah. You know what? Maybe the city's starting to turn a new leaf. Good for them.
Ooh, yeah.
Good for them.
I like to think our group has some part in that responsibility.
Well, you know,
changing them.
We're trying to show them that even sewer dwellers can live in harmony with the above ground world sometimes.
Mm. It takes some work, but I think they might be getting there.
Maybe if we stopped killing them. I don't know.
I don't know if I'd go that far.
maybe all creatures should be judged on an individual basis.
I don't know about that.
I don't know, though, because like with the road event, I do feel like that was I learned a rat dance, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's back up a little bit, because when we go on this road event and there's vermlings around a campfire singing, yeah, they're rats. It doesn't sound great. Give them a break.
Yeah.
What was your first inclination? Just run in and start killing them?
Yeah, the vermling. That's what you do. But then you were like, hey, but I know that guy. He's my neighbor.
Right. And what happened? We ended up with 3 experience, I think, just for hanging out and getting to know people.
It was quite the experience.
There's a lesson in there.
I will give you that.
All right.
But, I mean, even bees get together and do little dances, and I kill bees every chance I get, so it doesn't really change anything.
Except bees can't talk.
At least they make honey.
Yeah.
Woo. Like,
what do you guys do, live in poop? Well, I'm so impressed.
Oh, my God. Oh. Rum is going to just be all over the place next round.
So, on to the Savas Armory to get a gland back for a dragon, or Drake, excuse me.
Yes.
So the Savas are what the Kraghearts are, which we have not had the Kraghart in the party, and we've never run into Savas before, so this was going to be interesting.
And this one was fucking terrible.
Yeah, they also had like 4 demon types listed on there, one of which I needed, so I was cool about that. But the rest is like, I don't know. The rules, though, like we had to go – this is a 5-room thing, 5-room scenario. We had to go get the treasure tiles, which we know are going to be in the last room, and then get back out through the exit, which is in the first room.
And like 3 of those rooms were fairly large.
Yeah. But our first encounter involved Garrett and I versus a door, which we had to deal 7 damage to knock open.
And we both missed that door, as I recall.
I also recall, though, us knocking it down after the first, like the first round, it was still knocked down. There was just a little bit of wild flailing to go. Yeah.
I did.
You missed first and then redeemed yourself.
Did you guys hear the Vermlings laughing in the back by any chance? I didn't really catch that.
You know what? We were too busy focusing on the task at hand for the good of the party. Actually,
no, man. Coke wasn't laughing. He was solemn, and he's not gonna laugh at his fortune like that.
No, he's better gonna get his own revenge. Yeah, but I used a combo of cards I have that is in move and attack, and then the bottom card is also an attack. So I got a double attack off, so at least my second attack hit.
Yeah, same here. I got my second. My first attack bounced off and my second attack hit, and I drew decently on the... I drew like a +3. I wasted that on a door, but we knocked that door open into a room of the Savas. So we had Savas Ice Storms and Savas Lava Flows. Two of each in there. And I believe they like almost immediately summoned a flame demon.
Yeah. And, you know, unlike the, you know, Kragheart that you can have in the party, who's just a big melee tank, these guys were all wizards.
Yes. The lava flows did do a lot of melee stuff, but they could also do some summoning. And then the ice storms just sat in the back being really annoying.
Yeah, they were the range jerks.
But that's all right. Like, we've got these guys, Rum, Herd, and Etu go in and start, you know, manning up on them. But then Skeevil just comes in. flurry.
We had to do some dancing around in there to get in the right positioning. And I unleashed my awesome attack that I just picked up, the range 4, attack 4. And I'm thinking, okay, the muddle is really going to be good. If the one damage gets through, that's fine. The very first card I draw, because I donated, because that's my life goal, I had two blessings and my regular crit. I drew the blessing crit. And
for how much damage?
For a whopping 2 damage.
On to the next enemy, though, right?
Yep, on to the next enemy. I draw my regular crit. And for another 2 damage. So, you know, that works out. You know, that works out. The next card was +2. Did more damage than the crit.
Yep. Love it.
And then the third card was my final blessing crit.
It was the most amazing chain ever.
3 crits out of this four attack. And I very rarely ever draw a crit whenever I'm playing.
There was a lot of frustration coming from the skip corner of the table.
So just to do the math, that's 4 attacks, 3 crits, and 9 points of damage.
Yep.
So that's like one of your attacks as a scoundrel, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm consistently known as the null rep or null guy. I mean, I always draw the null, and I draw 3 of them in 1 attack. So
now if you miss, it's pulling a skip. And if you crit on a 1, it's pulling a skip.
Yeah.
It was beautiful, though. It was a sight to behold.
It was.
So we started running into a problem in this room. And so, like, we're all kind of melee oriented. And beforehand, I could jump into the room and start kind of tanking early.
Yep.
But it was a small room, but the scoundrel, like, keeps moving faster than me and getting a little bit deeper in the room than me, only by like a hex or something. But the scoundrel was starting to take a bit of a beating in this room.
Yeah. I had to pitch a card and short rest in that room.
Yeah, and we kind of had to start changing tactics on the fly and kind of positioning it around, but then the ice storms were causing some problems. I got disarmed once, and that really kind of messed up my plans. We started handling, though. We got it down to like just 1 or 2 of the Savas left. Then Rum got a little bit
I'll take responsibility for this one. So as what was happening in the room, we dropped one of those Savas pretty damn quick and inflicted some healthy damage on one of the other ones.
Yeah.
So Rum had read the situation as like, you guys don't need me. You got this. These guys are pushovers. And Coke gravely misread the whole situation and said, yeah, go ahead. Open the door to room 3. Turns out to be a pretty bad mistake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's only three enemies in there, right? There's two of the Savas lava flows and one elite Savas ice storm. And
that guy was
so.
The thing is,
like your first turn, you're like, all right, yeah. Rum goes in there and stands right next to the ice flow, and we're like, all right, is it going to do anything else? Nope, that's him for the turn. So then he just kind of he got beat up some as well. Was that when you had to pitch a card for him, or was that a little bit later?
I think it was that turn.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was a thing.
Yeah.
It was putting me as the brute in a little bit of a tough situation because we were still tied up in the front room and I was needing to kind of take some hits for the scoundrel at this point to let him kind of, or I guess her, let her kind of catch her breath. But then the bear was going to die and I needed to get in there, but I just couldn't break away. I couldn't break away. And like,
yeah,
you'd already pitched a card for him, but the writing was a little bit on it seemed like it was just going to be a number of turns that
yeah,
would take
I'd just
some
be
beans.
Pitching cards otherwise. Yeah. I mean, those room two enemies turned out a little bit tougher than anticipated.
Yeah, it took us longer to take them down, partly because they were disarming and some stuff like that.
Yeah.
They're also kind of, even though it was a small room, they were split up enough that we couldn't like fully focus on them.
Yep. And after Rum died, that kind of, the elite started harassing you guys with his range, I remember.
He had like range 7 at one point.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
Oh, yeah, he shot me through the door in the other room, I remember, right after Rum died.
And so we were trying to clean up. We'd lost the bear, and like you had thought about going ahead and pitching two cards out of your discard to avoid more damage, but
at that point he was just going to die the next turn.
Yeah, we had to all survive, like to get back and extract. So
yep.
We finally finish up this second room. We move into this third room. At that point, we finished off two of the guys, the two non-elites. We finished off quite quickly.
Yep.
The elite, we finally whittled down. We were really out of sync though. Cause so like this room had a door that was opened by standing on pressure plates. Like we each had to be on a pressure plate
in the same
turn. Your plan was to use Rum to stand on it, but he was dead now. And like you're way back, you have to move up. And then like, we were like, fine, we'll move up and stand on our pressure plates. And then we can like long rest and then we'll be healed up. You stand on the plate. But mm-hmm. then like you misunderstood that it was at the end of the round to stand on the plate. And we misunderstood.
Well, I didn't have the card to get there. That turn was the issue because I had to long rest.
You had to long rest before we thought you had to.
And basically the same turn as you guys. Yeah.
And then Skip had the long rest a turn before us because he was out of cards.
Yep.
It was not the most efficient of moves, but eventually we opened up this third door. And it was there's all four of the chests we need. There's yet another elite Savas Ice Storm. And then one Flame Demon, one Frost Demon in there, which they were non-elites. I went in there.
This was
pretty.
Do we want to talk about the scenario giving us the info on the spawn?
Yes. Okay. So yeah, there's a scenario roll. It's like, hey, at the end of this turn, we're going to spawn an elite Savas lava flow at the location in that second room. And then after you grab all the chests, it's going to spawn an elite Savas ice storm there. It's only two enemies, but one of them's an elite. And Steve, your character didn't have enough movement to move into the final room, so you were planning on pulling back already. So you kind of had to work. You had to deal with that while we cleaned up in there.
Because we were looking at that, and then I think Skip was the only one with a loot 2 card.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which we were hoping we could use on those back 2 treasures. This is probably one of our proudest moments in our game so far, though. Because like all four of us kind of came together in this plan that ended up working out pretty good.
Yeah. The original plan was for me to go grab a chest and for the scoundrel to get two and for Skip to get one. But then like Skip had the loot 2 and I needed to, the scoundrel was still low on health and I needed to tie up the enemies. So I was able to kill the ice. I was able to kill the ice demon by knocking him into a trap. I was able to start chipping away at the flame demon, and like I tied up both the flame demon and the ice storm, Savas ice storm. Mm-hmm. Eventually killed the flame demon and then held off the ice storm while the scoundrel
basically just ran past you.
Looting. Yeah, let the scoundrel loot, and then yeah, Skip, you were able to use your loot too to get two of them, but then there's a question of you being able to get back with your movement, right?
Yeah, but before we move on to this, I want to mention the fact that when I got up to in position to take that, I actually had one attack that was just it was a use it or lose it kind of thing, and I attacked for four, and I drew my crit at the right time on the Savas. I don't know which one is
the wizard
storm. Yeah, the ice guy, and I did 8 damage to him first time on a good crit. So yeah, I was proud of myself that time.
And that was the thing, like. The other part of this plan involved me running back because we knew as soon as you grabbed the treasure, so the last treasure, this guy would spawn in this tile. So if we could keep that tile occupied, it would block the spawn.
Yeah.
So Coke ran back basically just to harass and be a little wall.
And it got a little stickier because he ended up summoning a flame demon back there.
Right before we swapped him with Skeevil.
Yep.
Yeah. So, y'all sent him into the back room. Skeevil came up. Skeevil ended up in the spawn location for the next enemy right before the scoundrel grabbed the last chest, so that guy could not spawn there. And now I was busy tying up the two Savas in that room.
Yep.
Then I ended up using one of my cards to immobilize them so that me and the scoundrel could both move out.
Yeah, I think that you had to hang out for another turn because the scoundrel had a long rest, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I actually ended up killing one of the Savas. Yeah, I ended up killing one of the Savas in the room. Immobilized the other one. We started moving back. Yeah. And then I was able to get back just.
Yeah, because we
I was able to get back in time.
Oh, sorry.
I was able to get back in time to aggro the flame demon so that you could move away and escape before you died.
Yeah, because.
Or took more damage.
After we popped Skip back there, I believe he had the long rest as well.
Yes.
And if I had booked it, then the thing would have taken a swing at him, and I believe he was pretty weak at the time.
Right.
Yeah.
I remember I had the long rest just to keep my move four card.
So that kind of narrowed the window for me getting back. I think I barely made it back by one tile.
Yep. Yeah, and then the scoundrel, it was close too. You barely made it back. I had plenty of movement. I went ahead and the scoundrel and I were able to finish off the flame demon in that room just to make sure everything was safe. And then we all made it back in. Again, it was close with our movement, but for as awkward as the first couple rooms were, we were really out of sync. Like we really came together as a group on. On that final bit.
Well, we kind of had a rally right after Rum died, and we're like, you know, we have been playing the scenario rough, and there's no way we can finish it if we keep going like this. Yep. And so we had definitely the best teamwork we've had so far after that. And
just the coordination in that last room, everything went really, really well.
For sure. So, that wraps up those two scenarios. We got a few party achievements and some stuff. We were able to kind of check some stuff off in the back of the book where it tracks things you can do. We were able to check a few things off out of this. So that was cool. And maybe we made friends with a dragon, you know, or a Drake. We'll see. Okay. So, hey, the brute hit level 7 again, cause it seems like I level up almost every session, which I mean, this is session 8 and I'm level 7 now. So that's not far from from accurate. Rum and Coke leveled up. And then, Skip, you retired.
Yep. That's right.
I want to save your class, like the breakdown of your new class, for the next episode. That way we don't accidentally spoil that for people who we didn't, you know, we can really focus on it at the beginning of next episode. But we will say that you unlocked the box with the saw on it.
Yeah, I kind of figured, since we are a group of melee guys, you know, at worst, I would have picked another melee guy, but you'll have to find out next episode to see what I actually got.
All right.
And then, Rum, you want to tell us about your level 4 car that you ended up taking?
Yeah, so I've noticed we've been facing a lot more enemies with shield lately, and level 4 offers this really nice card, Punch Through, which gives you a command attack for Rum, an attack 3 with a pierce 4. So he could just blast through things with shield. The bottom of it isn't bad either. It's a move 3, and it adds plus 1 attack to all command actions this round. So it kind of lets me move Coke around while still boosting Rum a little bit.
And I actually leveled up as well at the end of that scenario to level 4.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Yes. And I picked up Gruesome Advantage, which is an attack 3, and then add another plus 3 attack and gain an XP when the target is adjacent to one of your allies. And you can add another 3 attack and get another XP if the target is adjacent to none of its allies. So this is potentially an attack 9. It is a loss to do that, though. Mm-hmm. And the initiative is 62. It's pretty slow for my class especially. But the bottom is not a lost card, and it's a move 7.
Yeah, that's good. That's real good. That's, like, crazy good. For the Brute at level 7, I had a couple of solid options. Crippling Offensive was the first card. Its top was an attack 6. I believe it's either attack 6 or attack 8. It was a high attack with wound and stun and 3 experience, but it was a loss. So, like, one time it's a really awesome attack, but it's just an attack 2 on top the rest of the time. The bottom did provide it provided good movement and a short push. The other one is called Defensive Tactics. This card was interesting. So it was, it had a ranged 3 target 2 up top that it did 2 damage a piece, but it also immobilized the people when you attack them. So I saw that as just being basically taking it could take the place of Spare Dagger, right? Because it's not doing it. It's doing attack 2s instead of attack 3s, but you've got the potential for more damage, and the immobilizers are nice. The immobilize came in. So I leveled up in between these two scenarios. And like I mentioned, I was able to immobilize the guys in that back room. That was because of this card. So yeah, I ended up taking Defensive Tactics. The bottom is also, I got rid of Warding Strength not too long ago. And the bottom of this lets me get Shield 1 and Retaliate 1 for the whole scenario if I use that. So if I'm in a situation where I need to soak up more damage, I can use that bottom as well. So it kind of lets me replace one card for usually an improvement over Spare Dagger, and then also gives me back some versatility that I lost with another card I swapped out, you know, a while back. So I was pretty happy with it.
I did some shopping when we were in the city and picked up an invisibility cloak and a long spear, which gives me a 2 tile attack straight in front of me. And then I also added a jump onto my move 5 on the Venom Shiv card so that I finally have the ability to do a little bit of jumping when the occasion calls for it.
Nice. I'm at level 7 now. I've yet to upgrade a card just because I keep finding items to buy. I keep getting potion slots or I've kind of...
Well, the items do your class a lot of good.
They really do. And I had the Warhammer, which cost me a lot to get, and I still have it. But then I also got the solo scenario weapon, which is a one-handed. So I went ahead and picked up another one-handed jagged sword that lets me add wounds, and that's come in handy a number of times. So like I can now decide, do I want to go with the Warhammer or do I want to go with the 2 other weapons? And then because I'm losing the Warhammer often, I went ahead and picked up a stun powder too to still get some stun effects if I need them. So I've been spending money. I really, really do, though, once you get another jump movement on one of my move 4s. It's going to be expensive to do because they're higher level cards, but getting another jump will just further the mobility of my class, which will be really nice. That's kind of my next thing to get, hopefully. Those are the adventures of us and our new Drake friend. Thank you for joining us, and please come back next time. Garrett, you want to see us out yet again?
Yeah. As always, Twitter is at GPub Radio. You can get us on Facebook at Gamer Public Radio, Steam Gamer Public Radio. You can get us at Mitch's Misadventurespodcast.com. And you can also listen to our sister podcast, where we cover games and game development at GameRepublicRadio.com. And we'll see you guys next Friday.
You've been listening to Misadventures, a Gloomhaven podcast brought to you by Gamer Public Radio. Please join us every Friday for new episodes at misadventurespodcast.com or find us on your podcast application of choice. Music for this podcast is provided by Kevin MacLeod. For more of Kevin's work, please check out incompetech.com. See you next time.